Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. The title of today's podcast is Down Goes Oil. Just like when George Foreman knocked down Joe Frazier. And down goes Frazier. And down goes oil. I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about. For the first time ever, WTI West Texas Intermediate has gone negative. Its price has gone negative. We truly live in the bizarro world, ladies and gentlemen. Financial Road of Oz, we've been saying it here for over a year. This is crazy town. Producers, in essence, have to pay somebody to take the oil off their hands. We were talking about this last week in a podcast, The Oil Conundrum. We did a recent Capital Economics presentation. Check that out on thecapitalnews.com or our YouTube channel, The Capital News. I mean, this is out of control. And make no mistake about it, it can happen again. Now, of course, these commodities, they trade in the futures market, right? So it's always forwards in the future. Well, this is for the May contract that is going to expire tomorrow. But the price settled at almost negative $38 a barrel. Negative $38 a barrel. It's one thing for it to go negative. For it to go that low, it's just unbelievable. Now, the real interesting thing is going to be what happens for the contracts, for the futures market, for the month of June. That's what we have to pay attention to. And if that goes negative, something is structurally wrong, which we already know. The question is, what is it exactly? In time, we'll find this out. Are these hedge funds, plural? Is it one big one? What's going on? Are they collapsing? Is this oil companies collapsing? Is this just simply supply and demand working its way through the market? All of the above, some variation thereof, it could be any of them. Time will tell what's taking place. There's no question about that. I mean, the ultimate solution is free markets. And free markets is all about price discovery. That's how markets are supposed to clear. Again, you've had this perversion over the past decade with the Federal Reserve printing money. Easy money, people want to get into the game. Look at the Shell Revolution, the boom, the bust, everything's fantastic. Let's get in there. Let's produce, thinking the gravy train is never going to end, and then lo and behold, one day it does. Now you're caught with your shirt off, caught with your pants down, whatever analogy, whatever cliche you want to use. Negative $38 a barrel. But pay very close attention, more so to the June contracts, which will be trading this week. Well, they have been trading, but that's going to be the front month here. So that's what we're going to be paying attention to. If that goes negative, there is something very, very structurally wrong within the oil market. Now, again, we're not surprised. We've been talking about this for months. You also have to take into consideration the importance from a geopolitical standpoint, the importance of oil. You also have to understand the importance of the petrodollar system. And we've talked about that many times here on this podcast. We talk about it at length in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing, because this is one of the linchpins that keeps an artificial demand for U.S. dollars. Because most commodities, and in this case we're talking about oil, is traded in U.S. dollars. That's why anytime some dictator or some oil-rich country gets it in their head, you know what, we're not going to accept dollars, or we'll accept dollars, but we're also going to accept euros and yen and yuan and a whole bunch of other things, maybe gold. Ain't going to happen. That's when you have the U.S. Marine Corps knocking on your door. All right? And what do we always say here? When all else fails, they take us to war. That was an economics professor that told me that when I was an undergrad. Never forget it. He was saying it tongue-in-cheek, but you knew he was, you know, obviously, tongue-in-cheek, half and half. So you pay attention to this type of stuff. The linchpin to this economy, in large part, is the strength or the resilience of the U.S. dollar, and obviously with it, the price of oil. Well, if this continues, you're going to have a problem. We had, obviously, OPEC Plus come to at least an agreement. We'll see if they carry it out, of cutting 10 million barrels per day. That's not supposed to take effect until May. Of course, there are non-OPEC countries that might hit that limit as well, taking it to 19 or 20 million barrels per day. We'll see how that plays out. Of course, you know my analysis and opinion of this. It's not enough. There's too much oil and gas swishing around in the marketplace. Storage facilities are at near capacity, which is one of the drivers as to why prices went negative today and why they may very well continue to hit that territory in the future with the June contract or others. Time will tell. I mean, I hope that doesn't take place, but if that's truly the market mechanism, if that's where markets are going to clear, then so be it. I mean, we made our bed, now we got to lay in it. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. Remember, we talked about this last week in our podcast again, the oil conundrum, talking about the Texas Railroad Commission, because they're the ones who regulate oil and gas in the state of Texas. And you had various companies petitioning the commission saying, look, we got to cut back on production. You got to mandate this, yada, yada, yada. And you had some of these energy experts saying, look, within the next couple of weeks, several weeks, we might see oil at $3 a barrel to $10 a barrel. Well, we hit it. We went through it like a hot knife through butter. Negative $38 a barrel is where it closed. Unbelievable. And you would expect the stock market to collapse along with it, but it didn't. It didn't. Of course, I mean, these markets are just, they're out of control. You can't make heads or tails of any of this stuff. I mean, of course, we talk about the Federal Reserve's balance sheet and the $2 trillion that they've added over the past several weeks. I mean, it's just, it's out of control. There is no oversight. There's nothing. We got the Congress back talking about, well, okay, we're in principle, we have a deal to help out small and mid-sized companies, but we're not voting on it yet today. Oh, fantastic. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve, in conjunction with the federal government, hands out trillions of dollars like it's candy to Wall Street and corporate America with very few strings attached. Virtually no oversight. Virtually none to bail out them. Small businesses, the individuals getting screwed. You now have states, which we knew was going to take place, coming to Uncle Sam, who is also broke. The states admitting that they are broke. Unemployment insurance. We're broke. We don't have the money. You got to give us more money. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, something is brewing and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And there's a couple other stories that are going to sort of tie into all of this that we're going to get to in a little bit. Market performance, obviously, like I said, the markets did close down, just not as much as I had anticipated. Right now, the time of this podcast, the futures are trading. We have the Dow Jones down about 1%, the S&P down 0.5%, NASDAQ 100 down 0.25%. The Japanese markets are trading live, down 382 points, representing about 2% decline for the day so far. Across the board in Europe, they were pretty much up, but not too much. Nothing fancy to write home about, no surprise. Australia's trading right now down almost 2% as well. On the commodity front, as we're trading, we have crude back in positive territory. WTI is at $1.98 a barrel. I'm sure everybody's just thrilled with this. We have Brent, however, the international metric, trading at $25.38. And it should be known, too, that the June contract, the one that is going to be trading next, the front month, is still around the $20 a barrel mark. However, it took a big hit, too. And again, there is no reason why that can't hit negative pricing as well. Let's hope it doesn't, but it could. Precious metal space, you would think they would have taken off a little bit too, but they didn't. They're down slightly. Gold, $1,687 an ounce. Silver, $15.19 an ounce. Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury note yielding 0.61%. So I think the markets, again, they're heavily rigged. That's exactly what they are. They're heavily manipulated. So, you know, you pull on the strings of a handful of stocks, a handful of major assets there, and you get pretty much what you want. So we're going to continue to monitor this very closely. It's the financial world of Oz. I don't think they're going to be able to continue to play this game that much longer. I just think the fundamentals of economics have to take hold. They just have to. If they don't, we're in a lot of trouble because that means there is no market. There is no price discovery. It's just a bunch of people behind the scenes pulling on the levers. And again, And again, as the analogy I like to say with the Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There's not even behind the curtain anymore. It's in our face. A financial coup d'etat is taking place as we speak. Remember the word consolidation. We talk about it here all the time. We talk about it at length in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. That's what's taking place. The small guy, the little guy, the mid guy is going away. It's all for the major corporations. It's all for the federal government, the Federal Reserve, and other central banks. They're buying up everything with money that they don't have, but they have a printing press. It would be like you having a printing press. Print your money, go buy assets. Don't do that. They'll lock you up and throw away the key, but it's perfectly okay for the government and the Federal Reserve to do it. You understand the game that's being played here? And it's quite ironic. I understand, you know, what's going on here with all these people now protesting to stop the lockdowns and everything. I get it. I understand. People are going stir crazy. People got bills to pay. People want to work. I understand. But what are you going to work for? At the end of the day, this is a little bit more philosophical, and I don't want to go too far down this, but just a question to ponder. What are you going to work for? So you can pay the bills to propagate and to perpetuate the system that has been screwing us over for generations? Is that what you're so eager to get back to? Do people not understand what is taking place here? Is that what they're so eager to get back to? Because there is no normal. There is no going back to the quote-unquote normal. That was completely unsustainable and ridiculous to begin with. So you're going to have to get used to the new normal, or the new normal, because that's what they told us a decade ago after the great financial crisis. Well, there's going to be a new normal. Well, I guess this is the new normal that we're going to have to get ready for. So just ask yourself, you want to get back to work, that's fine, but what system are you going to perpetuate here? Which one are you going to continue to support? And again, get out of your respective silos, your conservatives, your Republicans, your liberals, your Democrats. Again, peaceful revolution here. Leave those parties. Become an independent, a libertarian, a green party. Unaffiliated, Mickey Mouse Club, I don't care. Leave the parties. They do not care about you. You have to understand this. Because it amazes me when I watch these protesters, and some of them are carrying Trump flags and this, that, or the other. Do you not understand what this guy has done? He has signed off on all of this craziness. When you had Representative Massey of Kentucky standing up just to say, hey, let's all put this on a vote for a record. Let's put it on a record. No, we can't do that. And he was attacked by everybody. Attacked by Democrats, attacked by Republicans, attacked by the President of the United States. No oversight. Mr. President, are you going to comply with the Inspector General? No, hell no. Not going to happen. We're not going to do it. Fires him. See ya. This is not draining the swamp, ladies and gentlemen. That was about $450 billion. It's a slush fund for the Treasury, which is going to go to the Federal Reserve, which is going to multiply it by a factor of 10. There's another $4.5 trillion right there. We talked last week, over the weekend, the update to the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, now 6.3, almost 6.4 trillion. They're just getting started. You're going to add that additional $4 trillion to it? I mean, is this thing going to go to $10 trillion? This is criminal. And nobody says a damn thing about it. They just say, oh, just let me go back to work. For what? To perpetuate this nonsense. People got to stand up. It's out of control. And I understand the frustration. I understand that's what people want to do. I understand people don't want the handouts from government, the phony printed money. I get it, 100%. You follow this podcast, you understand this, you know this. Many of you probably agree with that. But what system are you going to perpetuate? What change are you truly demanding? That it becomes Joe Biden instead of Trump? Good luck. Good luck. You're stupid. You're beyond help if that's what you think is a realistic solution. These guys don't give a damn about you. Wake up. That's the problem. The other problem is people don't know what to adopt. Everybody's been indoctrinated to believe what the nice man or woman on television tells you to believe. And you're going to turn on whatever channel that is that tells you what you want to hear. Divide and conquer. You like free health care for everybody? Well, then you're going to turn on MSNBC. If you don't like it, then you're going to turn on Fox News. Tax cuts this, tax cuts that. Who cares about deficits? I'm a fiscal conservative. No, you're not. You got $4 trillion coming down the pike in a deficit. You don't care. So don't lie to me. It's all right. It's all a joke. You have to wake up. This is an opportunity here for the people to take back this country. not simply to go back to work to perpetuate the system that has been screwing this country over, and the people primarily, obviously, for generations. And nobody talks about it. Nobody brings it up. Now, that's some of the market news. What else do we have from a market front? Here's a headline for you. Fitch, one of the ratings agencies. Fitch cuts Hong Kong credit rating to AA-. We've been waiting for this. They did this just today, citing the negative impact of global pandemic on the already fragile economy. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming down with respect to these ratings agencies, in my opinion, a question of saving face, a question of their own credibility, because they dropped the ball royally during the great financial crisis, rating a whole bunch of junk AA, AAA, just stamping it. Just stamping it AA, AAA, because the very banks that were buying and selling these products were the ones sending these products to the ratings agencies to be stamped AAA, AA. That's what they wanted. It's the banks who paid the ratings agencies. So what grade, what rating do you think they were going to get? Well, they got the highest. They got the highest grades. They got the highest stamps. The highest ratings, AAA. It's all junk. It's all garbage. Well, again, this time, we've had this conversation here many a times. Oh, they wouldn't do that this time. Mm-mm-mm. That's why there's so much corporate debt that is stamped triple B. Just a notch or two above junk. And that those fallen angels is what they're calling them in the market, that when these companies go and they go into junk status, that's it. But then again, you have the Federal Reserve now buying junk. So, I mean, they're just bailing out everybody. Again, completely illegal. It is against their charter. It is against their charter. Yet they're doing it. They don't care. Again, they don't care about you. All of these news stations, everything with the propaganda, the misinformation, the disinformation, Republican against Democrat, it's all a distraction as they print money and buy up one asset after the next. Bail out one buddy after the next. Meanwhile, you get your sit-down, shut-up money. And we'll see if that works. So far, it is. So, a lot to pay attention to. China cuts their key rate for the second time this year. Last week we talked about another rate that they cut. Now they are cutting their main rate for the second time this year. The People's Bank of China lowered its benchmark interest rate by 20 basis points to a record low of 3.85%, matching market expectations. And of course, this is on the back of their GDP printout the other day of a reading of negative 6.8% for the first quarter of 2020. We ain't buying it. I mean, we already have, you know, economists projecting that GDP for at least the second quarter of this year in the United States is going to be in the double digits. So how is China shut down for months, basically, and all they contract was negative 6.8%? Very sketchy, isn't it? But that's what they tell us, so we'll roll with it for the time being. But we'll see what happens. So that's some of the market headlines. Getting back sort of here to the geopolitical aspect of everything, the petrodollar system, all of the, if all else fails, they take us to war, mumbo jumbo. Understand, we are not calling for war. We do not want war. This station, this podcast is about free market capitalism, about peace and prosperity. That's what it's about. Should be very simple, but unfortunately it isn't. If you want prices to stabilize and the price of oil, if you want them to be sustained, then it's going to take war to get us there. And let's pray that that does not happen. But when you have the U.S. circling Iran and has been for a while and now circling Venezuela and talking about Venezuela and attempting an overthrow of the Maduro regime for, you know, well over a year, you got to start scratching your head, okay? Because we're not just after these countries because we don't like their government, okay? They got oil, they got gas. All right, that's what we want. That supports the petrodollar system. It goes into the hands of somebody we don't want it going in. Well, then that might be the end of the petrodollar system, and bye-bye, U.S. of A. Okay? That was the title of our podcast on Saturday. Final chapters. All right? America, the final chapters. Dollar crisis. All this stuff can take place. We have no idea how quick any of this can move. And it's moving fast. again, in our podcast, The Oil Conundrum. Some of these energy execs, yeah, well, you know, in the next several weeks, we could be at $3, $10 a barrel. We're at negative 38. Negative 38. That's how quick this stuff is moving. That's how crazy everything is right now. Who's the steady hand? Who's the stabilizing force? Nobody. No government. They're all broke. No central bank. They're counterfeiters. They're just sanctioned to print money. That's all they got. There's nothing. There's nothing. So buckle up. Pay attention. Was saying here for a while, but on Saturday's podcast, we talked about it again. Look for the blame game. Look for a lot of countries to start blaming China. Look for China to again blame the United States for COVID-19 and a host of other issues. This is going to drive people deeper into their respective silos, get nationalism up to the forefront, which it has been trending that way for years, patriotism, all that jazz. It's going to get people rowdy. And there is a lot of tinder all over the globe right now. It is not going to take much to set anything off. Remember, we talked about the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, finally catching up to the Capitol News. Oh, yeah, there's going to be global protests. Oh, there were global protests before COVID-19. It's even worse now. What do you think they're going to do when they're allowed to go outside? Or they might say, damn it, I don't care. I'm going outside. I don't care who gets sick. I am protesting. Can't take it anymore. Be on the lookout. Some other stories I want to cover here real quick before we sign off for the evening. This is out of Bloomberg. The United States is seeking details about Kim Jong-un's health. Of course, this is the dictator, the leader, whatever the hell you want to call him, out of North Korea. Kim Jong-un's health after receiving information that the North Korean leader was in critical condition after undergoing cardiovascular surgery last week, according to a U.S. official. Again, this is out of Bloomberg. The Trump administration wasn't sure whether Kim was dead or alive, said the official, who asked not to be identified. CNN had earlier reported, citing a U.S. official with direct knowledge of the matter, that Kim may be in, quote, grave danger after the surgery. The White House declined to comment on the CNN report. The Daily NK, a Seoul-based website that gathers information from informants inside the isolated nation, separately reported that Kim underwent a cardiovascular surgical procedure and was now mostly recovered. It was impossible to immediately verify the report, which the Daily NK said was based on one person inside North Korea. The health of North Korea's leader is one of the state's most closely guarded secrets, typically only known by a handful of people in the inner circle of leadership. Speculation about Kim had been growing since his unprecedented absence from April 15th celebrations for the birthday of his grandfather and state founder, Kim Il-sung, one of the biggest days on the North Korean calendar. All right, there's one for you. That just broke shortly before this podcast. You also have, shortly before this podcast, something from the president. This is out of Reuters. Trump says he will suspend all immigration into the U.S. over coronavirus. President Donald Trump said on Monday he will suspend all immigration into the United States temporarily through an executive order in response to the coronavirus outbreak and to protect U.S. jobs. The move, which the Republican president announced on Twitter, effectively achieves one of Trump's long-term policy goals of curbing immigration, making use of the health and economic crisis that has swept the country as a result of the pandemic to do so. Trump said he was taking the action to protect the U.S. workforce. Millions of Americans are suffering unemployment after companies shed employees amid nationwide lockdowns to stop the contagion. Quote, in light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States, Trump said in a tweet. The White House declined to offer further details about the reasoning behind the decision, its timing, or its legal basis. Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to tie all this together in a moment. And lastly, we have out this evening, or earlier today, I should say, also from Reuters, U.S. pressure on Iran during coronavirus outbreak is, quote, inhumane, according to Rouhani. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said on Monday that American pressure on Iran in the middle of the coronavirus was, quote, inhumane, according to a statement on the official presidency website. Iran is the Middle Eastern country hardest hit by the virus, and Iranian officials say U.S. sanctions have hampered its response. U.S. President Donald Trump reimposed economic sanctions on Iran in 2018 after withdrawing from a multilateral nuclear deal struck 3 years earlier. Quote, in these difficult conditions, American pressure on the people of Iran is more inhumane than at any other time, and the continuation of it is a barbaric crime against a great people and against all human principles and international regulations, end quote, Rouhani said during a phone call with Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. And then lastly, we have an emergency government that has been formed in Israel between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his rival, I think it was Benny Gantz, okay? They failed on numerous occasions. I think 3 times they have failed. This was supposed to be the 4th go-around. But given what is taking place, the economic fallout, the coronavirus, et cetera, they have formed an emergency government. Will keep you posted on all of that. So is all of this just a coincidence? The timing of Kim Jong-un's report coming out, the president coming out this evening. Now, all of a sudden, after 4 weeks and 22 million Americans filing for unemployment, not to mention the millions who were already unemployed to begin with, and of course, not counting the ones who have or are continuing to file for benefits, right? Why now? Why close the borders now, in essence? Why shut down immigration now? What is going on? Something's taking place. I have no idea what it is, but something doesn't smell right to me at all. At all. Is this an opportunity for a country or countries to attack the United States in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of the economic fallout, in the midst of the health problems in many of our major cities? I mean, why now? Why be concerned with this now? And the problem, too, especially when it comes to immigration, a lot of these immigrants are a crucial aspect of the food supply here in the United States. They're the ones out in the farmland picking these crops, just to put it bluntly. It's not Americans doing this, it's a lot of immigrants. We already have food shortages with respect to some products, even though in some cases we're riding tractors over lettuce, which we talked about the other evening. Again, this is a bizarre world. Nobody has a true handle on what is taking place. And I understand this. Okay, I'm sympathetic and empathetic to this situation. But somebody's got to start leading here. Somebody's got to take this bull by the horn. Somebody has to start being truthful. And that's the last thing that's going to happen. The truth is the last thing we are going to get. All right? History books won't even figure it out. Believe me when I tell you. History is just a nice story. But you got to use it. You got to use it for some context. There are important lessons from it, obviously. But the truth is going to be the last thing we hear from anybody. This country, out of China, Russia, Brazil, Turkey, it makes no difference what country it is. All of our government officials, central banks, are all going to be lying. You understand this, so just accept it and get over it. All right? So you got to start connecting the dots here. I mean, what is going on? What is going on? You know, shut the borders. That's a two-way street. You build walls, you put up fences, that's a two-way street. Yeah, it can keep people out, but it can also keep people in. All right? Again, I have no idea what's going to take place. Maybe nothing. Maybe nothing. But I got a very bad feeling that something's going down. And it could take a while to play out, but it's going to be something. Again, with respect to the oil price, was this simply a big game of chicken between Russia and Saudi Arabia? We're just, you know, a couple strong guys, if you will. We're good, tough guys over there in Russia and Saudi Arabia, just, you know, trying to be the strong men that they think they are. Just playing a game of chicken. Was it a coordinated effort to try to take out U.S. energy firms? That's going to happen. Make no mistake about it, whether COVID-19 happened or not, whether the oil war between Russia and Saudi Arabia happened or not, that was going to take place in this country, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. You just now have convenient excuses to blame it on COVID-19 and a price war. They had too much debt. The global economy was slowing down prior to COVID-19. Made no difference. They just sped up the day. They just hastened the day. That's all they did. That's all it was. Understand this, because it's an important distinction. And most people on CNBC, Bloomberg, Fox Business, and any others, they don't bring it up. They want to fall behind the convenient excuse. There is no way we could have seen this coming. There's no way this economy was going down but for COVID-19 or because of an oil war. Nonsense. Nonsense. Kim Jong-un, alive, dead? We don't know. Grave danger, grave health danger? We don't know. Trump shutting down the border, shutting down immigration. Iran calling out the U.S. They're in dire straits, make no mistake about it. And the Israelis form an emergency government. 2020. We left the first quarter. Now we're just only in the second quarter. What a time to be alive. This is unbelievable. And down goes oil. We are going to stay on top of this the best we can at the Capital News, as we do with most other things. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please like, share, subscribe, leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.